Father, we thank you for giving us this day as a context for knowing you. Thank you for the opportunities planned for this day for us to encounter your presence. Pick up baggage from now, from time to time, don't we? Sometimes that baggage weighs us down and colors how we perceive ourselves. So we're no longer seeing ourselves the way Father sees us. But there is a simple solution for baggage. And the Father is inviting us right here at the onset. To lay it all down.
Righteousness for me, and it stands in my defense. Clothed in majesty. how great is our God. I believe the Lord is saying to us today that the overflow of healing that has been released in this place over the last couple days, and things that have been prophesied over this house for healing to come, the Lord said that healing is available to everyone today, tomorrow, and even the next day, if you will open yourselves up to receive that healing. The past season that we have worked in and warred in with wounded hearts has come to an end. The Lord said, my desire is to have your hearts healed up, so when you go out and do the work of the kingdom, when you come in contact with those that have wounded hearts, you will not have to say, this is what Scripture says, but you will say, I saw God do this in my life. I know how great my God is, and it is available to everyone that you come in contact with, but His desire right now is that you open yourself and receive the healing for yourself, so that when you go, you can speak boldly and confidently in your God.
I'd like to go right back to how great is our God. And I'd like you to write, as we sing that, I ask you to open your heart. Since you say, I don't know what the problem is. I don't care what the problem is. He knows what it is. And He can fix it. Hey, have at it. Fix whatever's broken in me, all right? Open your heart and let Him, our great God, minister His healing to whatever it is, whatever it is. Let's be those who receive. How great is our God.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoices. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. How great is our God. Thank you.
when Keith Kane was sharing his word earlier, what the Lord was speaking to me is that it's not a time that we have to strive after what he has to give to us. We have to rest in the fact that he is giving it to us and just receive it and take it in. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to push for it. That if we're just open to receiving it, he is going to give it. And that just brought this song to my heart because it's all about he is providing rest for us.
Are there burdens in your heart? Is the past a memory that binds you? Is there some pain that you carried far too long? Then strengthen your heart.
Keith and Jocelyn just shared with me that the beauty of the fact that God comes to us, God seeks us out, and even in the springtime of the year, there's a harvest to be had because it's a God thing. And so God this morning is seeking us out. He comes to find us where we are, and to redeem us and pull us to himself, and to hug us and comfort us and strengthen us. It's today. It's now. And the Savior comes to us. You say, well, I'm already saved. Get hugged then. Just get hugged and receive the grace of God.
Taking my shame and in its place.
Thank you. I'm crying because this week I've lived that song. Before I knew the Lord, in my late teens, I became pregnant and gave that daughter up for adoption. And for all these years, my heart has just longed for her. And I never thought it would be possible. But on Wednesday of this week, we found each other. After 50 years. So I just want to encourage you. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how great the shame was. It doesn't matter how deep the pain was. God can restore everything and give you a new day. Amen.
And the song we sing, You Take, I want you to sing that. You Take Mine. It happened for Lisa. It's yours as well. God is good to everyone all the time. And so open your heart. And as we sing this song, let's draw it in. It's for me as well. What you did for Lisa, you've got stuff for me. Open your heart and receive it. You take my sorrow. You take my sadness. Turn it into joy.
You've taken my pain.
Thank you, Lord. Sing it together.
Call me by a new name.
You have a new name.
You've taken my shame and in its face. You give me joy. You've taken my pain. You've called me by a new name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Humans tend to hold on to it, and we have to work our way through it, and we have to figure it out, and we have to take care of it ourselves. God is saying, no, let me take it and turn it into the good things that I have. Don't get stuck there in the yuck that belongs here. It's not who we are. It's not part of who our being is. We are His, and He is trying to pour out and give us all good things. Don't get stuck trying to figure it out yourself.
He's here this morning to draw it away from you. Release it. Release the stuff. Dare to believe that He's got good stuff for you, and that His desire is to root out the junk. Have at it, Lord. He comes to receive us. He comes to draw. He comes to save. Be redeemed.
You take the morning, turn it into dancing. You take my weeping, turn it into laughing. You take my morning, turn it into dancing. You take my sadness, turn it into joy. You take my morning, turn it into dancing. You take my weeping, turn it into laughing. You take my morning, turn it into dancing. You take my sadness, turn it into joy.
Note the Schultz flyer in your bulletin today. If you've got it, just pull it out for a moment. Estella pointed out that over here in the upper left-hand corner, it goes desire and then the lure. You remember, Fount Schultz told us that all fishermen are liars. Did you know that? Did you know that? It's not just that they lie about how big the fish was. They lie to the fish. Yeah, all fishermen are liars. Okay, so the lure is the lie. And so then there, if you follow that down, it goes down to sin. You latch onto the lie, amounts to sin. But then straight down again, it says, repentance, unity restored. And I can't see it. I can't get it far enough. You want to hold that? and what's it say? Unity restored, and what's the last word? Oh, yeah. But the one before that, the last word in the red. Restored. Okay. So that it goes down the list. And so the lure gets us into the sin, but restoration is available. Forgiveness is available. It's immediately available. The Father stands by waiting for you to turn. And I don't think he just sits there waiting and twiddling his thumbs. I think he's drawing. And so that's what this morning has been about. That the picture that Fount showed us yesterday, it's all there in your bulletin. And even if you miss the weekend, don't miss the Father. He's here today drawing us in that direction. Isn't that good news? What a celebration. You got something else, Keith? Keith has run out. How many of you know that God was present this morning? He sort of showed up. I often say that I'm glad he comes to church at this place. I wish he'd put his tithe in the offering here. So far, not so much. But I can't imagine what the offering bucket would look like if God poured out all his tithe into our offering. Wouldn't that be something? It would be a party and a half. But you know what he gives? More than money. He gives us himself. And we're the recipient of that this morning. I'd like us to say thanks, Lord. You're good, God. All the time. To everyone. That includes me. And I thank you for it. Amen. We've had a rich weekend with Fount. He's been more than a rich, rich blessing to us. Those of you that were able to attend, I'm sure that you know that we have been richly, richly blessed. And this is his chart this morning. Of course, the one you got in the bulletin is in color and all the rest. But this is just black and white here. But it's the messages in it. And we're so glad to have Fount with us this morning sharing his life.
I want to bless you this morning and release the grace of the Lord and his anointing over you. I want you also to just continue to expect and even put a draw on the anointing that's available this morning. When Lisa came up and told us that story, which I know there's a lot of details, and I can't wait till she gets to tell me the whole story. My granddaughter's teething, okay? So, you know, that's what you're listening to right now. I just wanted to share our piece, a little story, and that is that we were with Fount at a restaurant Friday night, and God connected us up with some people that we love dearly. They're sort of the family that we, because of old divorce and old issues, we haven't seen them for a decade or 15 years or something like that. And he connected us up just this last Friday night. And just so delighted in his restorative heart and his love to connect. I loved Fount's definition of sin as essentially anything that kind of it comes between relationship. How did you say it? Can you just remind me?
Anything that divides what God united.
Anything that divides what God united is sin. And I just love when God reunites things. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm personally grateful. And I want you to understand that God has released an anointing to accomplish the healing. Oh, he's forgiven. The healing and the restoration and the wholeness. And so I want you to dare to believe and grab a hold of that gift that he wants to give to each of us. Amen? I also this morning wanted to just tell you guys that we have a couple of birthdays, and I'm looking for my birthday people, and I'm not finding them. Where did they go? Aha, I found one right there. Here's a 10-year-old birthday girl. Can I just hug you for a second? Come in and say, everybody put your hand out towards Joy. She turned 10 yesterday, is that right?
No, today.
Today. Today's the day, actually. So, Lord, we just are so grateful to you for Joy. And we just release your blessing upon her. Lord, we thank you that you have such high calling on her. And we just release over her just a fresh release of your spirit. Anoint her by your spirit. Draw her. Lord, I just declare hearing over these ears and just an openness over this heart that she would just continuously be astounded at revelation. Lord, this is a season of revelation for this young woman. We declare it over her. And we just speak a new day of revelation over this precious one. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord bless you, Joy. And here's another birthday boy, and he turned 10 a while back. 69 years old. Okay, so it was like 59 years ago that he turned 10. Okay, so we're celebrating that fact as of yesterday. And Lord, we just thank you for Lee and Lord, the man of God that he is and the hearing that he has. And Lord, we just say yes more, yet more, yet more. And Lord, we just declare over him and over his lineage a new unity and a freshness. We declare fruitfulness even down through the generations of the Bortle family in Jesus' name. We just declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for birthday presents for him all year long. That's what we pray. We just declare a release of birthday presents for him all year long. As he ascends toward 70, we declare a season of birthday presents all year long from you to him and his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, then let's open our hearts to receive the word from our dear brother, Fount Schultz.
Is my mic on? All right. I'm looking at the clock, and I don't see any way I can finish by 12. But we should be done by 3, so. I told Pastor, last night when I was finished, I felt like I had unloaded everything I came with, and I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about in the morning. Well, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning and downloaded what he wants you to have, and you're going to get both barrels. And if it takes longer than 12, that's your problem, if it's a problem. And I think that's not a problem, because I know. You know, I enjoy coming to this church because it's not church, it's family. There is what we might call a worship leader, but everyone is worshiping, and everyone is willing to take a leadership role by coming and speaking. It's not just one. I am amazed at what happened here. And the care that your pastors have for you. I was deeply touched when George and his wife, Betsy, ministered communion to people who are struggling with stuff. That blessed my spirit. You've got something here that very few places have. You need to appreciate it. You need to appreciate it. And I know you do. Wow. I would like to talk a little bit about the books that I have here, and I'm going to do it as briefly as I can, because I really would like for you to have some of the books. But I don't want to take much time because I really am pressed in my spirit to deliver what I have from the Lord this morning. The Father's Love Journey is a devotional commentary of the Gospel of John. And not verse by verse, but theme by theme. Taking the whole gospel on one theme, and then the whole gospel in another theme, and so forth. And I always tell people, do not buy this book if you're looking for a quick read. If you take less than a year to read it, you read too fast. It's designed to read very slowly, and even get a journal out and journal. That's what it's designed for. Deep, deep insights into the Gospel of John, which is insights into the whole Bible, which is insight to the heart of Father God. Now, the second book, T-shirts and Overcoats, that book is actually the first that I wrote. I've revised it, but there's a pastor in New York State. When I first came out with the book, he bought 6 copies. And a couple of months later, he called me on the phone and said, can you send me 6 more copies? And about another 6 months, can you send me 6 more copies? And I said, what are you doing with all these books? He said, well, when someone comes to me for counseling, I give them a copy of your book and say, come see me after you've read this book. They read the book and say, I don't need your help anymore. God met me with the book. It's designed to help you deal with issues in your life. That's T-shirts and Overcoats. The third one, Invitation to Intimacy, is about the 3 lost parables in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And there's a number of issues in those parables that most people totally miss when they read it. And I have tried to expose some of those things to you. So anyway, so much for the books. Please get one. I guarantee you, you will not regret getting the book. If you read it, get it and put it on your shelf. That'll be fine too. I get the money and you, whatever. Okay. I want to start. How many of you are in a place where it's been good, but I'd like to move to the next level? Am I the only one? I am 80 years old this year. As a matter of fact, this year I will be 81. And I have been through many transitions. I have been through many transitions, and I'm going to talk about transitions this morning. And each one of these transitions is like you're climbing. I grew up in New Mexico in the desert part, but we would go into the mountains of New Mexico for vacation, and I love climbing mountains, not cliffs. I've never done that. If I'd been around where people did it, I probably would have, because I'm a daredevil. But we would climb, and you think this is the top of the mountain. You get there, and it's really nice, but there's another peak right over there. And you climb that when you think, I've reached the top. No, there's another peak over there. And that's the way life with God is. You climb and you climb. Oh, glory to God, I've made it. And he allows you to enjoy yourself there for a while until he opens your eyes to see the next level. Can you identify with what I'm saying? And whenever you get to that place, you enjoy it for a while. And then someday you say, too long have I been in this place. I've got to move on. Yes. Not that it has been a bad place. Sometimes it was a bad place. So in the book of Ephesians, I want to talk about the peak where we as individuals and as a whole church, where are we going? Chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You're not there, but you've been called to it. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, where we're headed is a place in God, not a geographical location, but a place in God where all of God's people are together in harmony, in unity, and God is with them and they are with God. That's where we're headed. We're not there yet. There's a church down the street that think they're going and we're not. I grew up in a church like that. We were convinced that our little bitty country church were the only ones going to heaven, and we weren't sure about all of us. And none of us know whether we're going to be saved, meaning going to heaven, until after we die and face the judgment seat. And as a little boy, I can remember imagining these billions of people waiting their turn for judgment. And so I have to wait and wait and wait for my turn to come. And I call this doctrine eternal insecurity. But that's the way I was raised. And I came to a point in my life where I said, I'm done here. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not staying here. So let's go back. Incidentally, before I move on, chapter 4 of Ephesians, eager to maintain the unity of spirit, which is a given. We are united in the Spirit whether we like it or not and whether we know it or not. And then it talks about the ministry that comes to bring the church to maturity, to that place where we will attain or arrive at the unity of the faith. And the church today thinks we have to have the unity of the faith before we have the unity of the Spirit. I'm not going to be in unity with you, Sylvia, unless you agree with me in everything I believe. I just want you to know, unity is based on what I believe. And I'm right.
Amen.
I grew up there. I love the amen. Okay. We are not going toward unity of the Spirit. We're already there. We just don't realize it. We're going to the place where we suddenly realize that's who we really are. Okay. Now let's go to Psalms 120 through 134. There are 15 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. These psalms were written individually in different situations, but at some point in the history of the collection of the Psalms together, someone put them together as though it's a story. And the Jewish people have used this series of 15 Psalms for years and years and years as a journey from where you're at to Mount Zion, Mount Zion being that place where God is with his people and his people are in unity with him. And so this is the journey that we are on. And I'm going to share a little bit of my journey as we go through this, but you fill in the blanks with your own story. The first one, we begin with a decision. I'm done here. I'm done. It's over. I am not staying here. In my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me, deliver me from lying lips and deceitful tongue. And then in verse 5, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, and that's the place where there's a stretching. How many of you have ever felt stretched? I've been stretched and stretched and stretched. That I dwell in the tents of Kedar. The tents of Kedar, that's those black tents of the Bedouins who are continually fighting with others and fighting with one another. They still exist today. In that part of the world, they fight. They hate peace. They love war. Okay? And I was there in a church that hated peace. They were at war with every church in the city. Our sermons every Sunday were what's wrong with the Baptists and what's wrong with the Methodists, what's wrong with the Catholics and what's wrong with everybody else and what ought to be right with us, but it's not yet. You better get saved again today. And I came to a point in my life where I saw it. And I said, I'm done here. I have no idea where I'm going. And as I look back, I had no idea I would ever end up in a place like this. All right. But I knew I'm done here. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And I tried to speak to those people. And I got what they call the left foot of fellowship. And I've had that left foot several times because I'm just too naive to realize there are certain things you don't say in leadership meetings. I just never learned the, well, 121, next step. So the first step is I'm done here. I have no idea where I'm going. Number two, I began to, chapter 121, I began to get a vision of where I'm going. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and I'm going to give my interpretation of this. The scholars disagree with one another, but like I told you, I'm right, you know. Can I help it? Okay. I look up and I realize that my destination is up there in the hills somewhere. It's up there. And I have no idea about the mountains because I grew up in the desert. Now, I grew up in the desert and I learned on vacation how to deal with mountains. But there are issues in mountains that you do not have in the desert. There are creatures in the mountains you have to face that you don't have to face in the desert. I was at peace with all of the creatures in the desert, including the rattlesnakes. You know, I was not blessed with the fear of snakes. I picked up a rattlesnake one time and, well, we don't need to go there. I thought the boss would be impressed, but he wasn't. So I know the desert, but I don't know all the creatures that are up there. So I look to the hills, and I know that's my destination. Where is my help going to come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who made the mountains. And then there's a word, and this happens a lot in the Psalms. Someone else speaks. Someone speaks to the psalmist and says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So if I'm in the mountains and the one who is taking care of me, the one who is my helper, doesn't sleep, I don't have to worry about the night creatures. Are you with me? And the Lord is your keeper. This is actually a prophetic word that comes to this man who has decided, I'm done here. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not staying here. And I know that it has something to do with up. The prophetic word, God's going to take care of you. And I really received that confidence as I began to move out of the peace haters toward the lovers. Now, I've met a lot of peace haters among those who think they are lovers, but that's another story. The Lord will keep you. He will be your shade on your right hand, and the sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. Now this, we could say, this is the testimony of one who has not yet experienced anything. God's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'm going and I don't know what I'm going to face on the way, but I'm safe, glory to God. I've never experienced anything, but I have faith. So I call that the testimony of faith that comes when you have the word of God that comes to you and assures you you're moving in the right direction. Psalm 122. We take the next step. Now notice he hasn't moved yet. He's still in the desert among the peace haters. He's made a decision, I'm not staying here. And he's got a vision of where he's going. But he doesn't know how to get there. And I've been there. 122, I was glad when they said to me. There's something that is added here. And if I were putting a title to this message, I would call it From Me to We. We need to move out of me and mine into we and our. That's the unity. Are you with me here? We need to move from me to we. I was glad when they, plural, said to me, let us, plural, go to the house of the Lord. Now notice here, our feet, those who have come to me and said, I recognize you're one of them who are no longer happy with the peace haters, and I've been up there. I've seen it. My feet have stood in that place, and I came back to find some people who are hungry just like I was. Have you ever met anyone like that in your life who just came at the right time, at the right place, who know exactly how to move you and help you move to the next level? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. My feet, our feet have actually been standing in your gate. And this is addressed to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, we've been there. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. Now notice the bound together. It's not talking about the city, the stone walls, and the houses. It's talking about the community relationship. In the scripture, the Old Testament, the concept of city, there obviously were walled cities and there were houses there. But the issue of the city was a community of people who protect one another, who cover one another's back. That is a safe place. That's the concept. And so we have been there where there are people who take care of one another, where they are in unity. The city bound firmly together to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Now, there are many tribes. And the problem is that we tribes fight with one another. We're right and you're wrong. Just because they are a little bit different from us, then obviously they're wrong because we know we're right. Our Sunday school teacher told we're right, so we're bound to be right. Sunday school teachers don't lie on purpose. Obviously, they're good people. I love Sunday school teachers, but they are not the final standard of where we need to go. Neither are preachers or teachers. There's another standard, and you know who that is. There in that place, there's thrones, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Notice something begins to happen here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, verse 5. May they be secure who love you, Jerusalem. It's not the Lord, it's Jerusalem. And Jerusalem here represents that community of people gathered together who cover one another's back, okay? Who take care of one another. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers for my brother and companion's sake. Notice the shift has been what's going to make me feel good and what's going to be good for the community. You see the shift? It's no longer me, it's we. For my brother's sake, for the sake of my brethren, I'm praying for the peace of Jerusalem. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you for the sake of the house of the Lord, our God. Not only for the sake of my brothers, my companions, but for the sake of the house that is there. The presence of the Lord in the city. So I'm beginning to think of someone beyond my own self. Now, I don't know where you are in your journey, but on every peak where you rest for a time, when you wake up and realize there's a higher peak, part of that recognition is the fact that I have actually separated myself from some of those who are really my brothers. I've thought I was superior in this way or superior in that way. And so I began to recognize that. Now, 123, I'm waiting. I still have not moved. I'm still in the desert. I'm still among the peace haters, still among those who love war. and I'm waiting for God. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heavens. Behold, as the eye of the servant looks to the hand of the master, as the eye of the maidservant to the hand of the mistress, so our eye look to the Lord, our plural eye look to the Lord, our God, till he has mercy on us. And the mercy that we're looking for is the mercy for instructions. You may move out now. Many people move out prematurely. There are some who would have been better to stay in that place because God put them there to be salt and light in that place. And they just got fed up to hear, and being self-centered, they left for their own comfort. So we come to the place where it's for my brethren's sake and for the community's sake that I make the moves that I make. And so I'm waiting for God to have mercy and give me permission to move out. Now, in this series of Psalm, there are three movements, and the movement is never mentioned. It's once you get on the other side, we finally have the next Psalm. So something happened between Psalm 123, where he's waiting for instruction, waiting for mercy to leave, and he receives the mercy and he leaves. And it's a we, not just an I. And on the other side, Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Now, Israel in this context is not those who are physically descended from Abraham. This is spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel is defined in this text as those who say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have been, what's the word, plowed under, swallowed up alive. The flood will have swept over us. In other words, we would not have survived. Now, those who think, man, we showed them, it's not the Lord who strengthened them, it's their own strength, and usually there's something very wrong with where they're at and how they got to the place where they're at. Is this making any sense for you? We need to be very careful that we're moving according to the pattern that is set up. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have been swallowed up. And then in verse 8, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Now, I made the decision. At one point, I moved to a level, and then I got my degrees, and I'm teaching Bible, biblical studies, and church history and stuff like that in a state university. There's not many places you can do that, but I was teaching in a state university, an arrangement with the churches where the church is paying my salary, and because of my credentials, the university was giving credit. And so I'm teaching these classes. And the Board of Elders, and this is, some of you will remember the late 60s, early 70s, whenever those radical people came to the campuses. Some of you were them. Those guys and gals were strong. They were courageous. They were done up to here with society as it was. They had made their decision, I'm not staying here. Now, their way of moving forward was not the way that God would have chosen, but it's amazing how God chose, even in their way, to bring them into the fullness, because many of them are pastors, elders, and even what I would call apostles for today, literally changing the world. But they were radicals in those days, and they were taking my classes. Teaching Old Testament survey, and almost every class, if God is a God of love, why is all of this bloodshed in the Bible? I don't know how I got through Old Testament survey that semester, but the guy that caused the biggest problem got saved the following semester. He was in my living room on his knees accepting Jesus. So there was the radical times. And whenever I decided, you see, I was teaching. Now, the elder board called me on the carpet. And they said, we hired you to teach the Bible. You have to go tell those kids they cannot speak in tongues. You've got to go tell them they can't cast out demons. You've got to go tell them to stop praying for the sick. Because the sick are getting healed and the demons are leaving. You've got to go tell them they can't do that. Now, like I said, I never learned the grace of how to respond in a leadership meeting. I said, you hired me to teach the Bible. I find nothing in the Bible that forbids them from doing the very thing they're doing. And they said, well, you go study the Bible. When you find out you're right, you go tell them they can't do that. And they accused me of teaching heresy. I was the campus radical in their eyes. I can understand that. But I said, well, I plead guilty to teaching heresy. Every time I find one, I change my doctrine. And I have caught myself in heresies many times. As I'm teaching and the students, having good students is an awesome thing. Yeah, professor, I know what you're saying, but that's not what this text says. And I look at the text, and I was actually teaching what Sunday school taught me rather than what the text says. So I appreciate students who will challenge the professor. So I say, you're right. So I have taught heresy. Every time I discover one, I change my doctrine. And then I ask the elder board, how long has it been since you changed one of your doctrines? Now, can you understand? I'm on my way out. The peace haters were about to boot me out of their camp, and they did. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have been overwhelmed by that. Now, 125, how are we doing? Those, let me just say that 124 is the testimony of one who has had an experience. Testimony, God's going to take care of me. Then you go through, I almost said go through hell, but you understand what I mean. I'm not going to use that word. It's a bad word. You go through the pits and you get on the other side. Man, if God hadn't been with me, that would have done me in. But God was with me. So that's the testimony of one who has had an experience. 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Now, there are those who stand in the midst of the difficulty, stand their ground, and refuse to move, because pressure is upon them. Now remember our whole weekend on shame. Shame would tell me, you better submit or they won't like you. Where you fear man more than you fear God. That's the nature of shame. So those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest in the land allotted for the righteousness, lest the righteous stretch out their hands, and so forth. So this is a decision, another decision. The first decision, I'm out of here. I'm moving on. A new vision, and I move as the Lord gives permission. I get in trouble again. But I get through the trouble, things are good, and I realize God takes care of those who trust him. So that's the message that we have so far. And incidentally, this can be divided into three different steps, and you could spend a full hour with each step. So I'm really reducing this to get to the major point I have for us. 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, now this is a memory. Do you remember back when? And I don't know when back when was for you guys, but say in the early 90s when God was doing his thing and everyone just falling under the power. And every prayer you prayed got answered. I mean, do you remember those days? See, it's a memory. That's my point. We were like those who dream. As I look back on it, it's like I was dreaming. Things were so good. My mouth was filled with laughter. Things were really good. And even the heathen, even those people out there were saying, God is really good to his people. I mean, even the world was saying something going on there. Now, they didn't understand it. They may have criticized it, but they knew God was doing something good. So that's the picture here. And then verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. And I'm glad, but it's a memory. I want it again. I'm tired of just remembering how wonderful it was. And it was wonderful. I'd like to laugh again. You understand where they're at? And so this is the prayer. Restore our fortune, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. In other words, let the water flow again like it did back then. And I don't know where back then is for each one of you. And there may be two or three back thens for those of us who are older. I've been through three back thens. And they're awesome. And I come to this place and I enjoy until I come to the place where I realize there's more. There's a peak. And I got to get out of here to get to there. So do it again. And notice once again a word. And it's a prophetic word that comes to the psalmist who is struggling with those who struggle with him moving toward the goal. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, this is a promise and a prophetic word about a future productivity. Now, up to this point, it's been, get me out of this mess. It's no longer I'm still in a mess. But it's no longer, get me out of this mess. It's make me productive, even in the mess. Are you with me? Okay. So the promise of productivity. And then number 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I used to really like this verse. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. Early risers, it's in vain. Until I realize what he's talking about. Eating the food of anxious toil. Working so hard because you're anxious about the result rather than just doing like you're told and allowing God to be responsible for the result. Eating the bread of anxious toil. I stay up late doing the work, and I get up early doing the work, and I'm worried about whether it's going to work. Is the work going to work? And God says, relax. Just do like I tell you, and let me be responsible for what happens out there when you do what you're told. Behold, verse 3. Now, we're in the context of productivity. And the image shifts from agriculture to children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So here's productivity. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Ha, ha, ha. I had a young couple come to me years ago, just got married, and this guy asked me, he says, how many arrows are there in a quiver? And basically, he wanted to know how many children is he supposed to have, as though there's a rule. I mean, a little bit of legalism there. And I understood his direction, and my answer to him was, that depends on how big your quiver is. There are some people who can't handle more than one. And then there's Lisa. You know, I am amazed at the way she handles all those kids. What an amazing quiverful they have. Maybe there's a double quiver there. I don't know. But productivity, this is only an image, and I'm using that just to impress you with the productivity that is here. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Now, here's the point. Not how many kids you have, and that was fun. Thank you, Lisa. But it's not how many kids you have. It's have you been productive? Have you produced anything in God? Has what you have done produced anything? So you come into the court. That's the board of elders. The gate is the board of elders. In that culture, that's where the elders met. And if you wanted a judgment from the elders, you go to the gate. And you're under accusation, and you simply say to the adversary, what has your life produced? Here's what my life produced. You got some arguments against me? I have former students in all over Asia, including Korea, Japan, China, Vietnam. I've got former students in Africa, several nations. I've got former students in India. I've got former students all over the United States who are making a mark. I've got students, one student is bishop over, I think there's 3,400 churches in Kenya. He's the bishop. And not only does he have those churches, he has connections with churches all over Africa, and he travels, and he encourages people, and he's influencing all of Africa. My student, what has your life produced? I'm not bragging. Well, yeah, I am. I'm bragging on him. You see, when I first got filled with the Spirit, I was in Japan, and my goal was to go back to Japan as a missionary. Well, I never got there, but I've got former students in Japan changing the landscape. I never wanted to go to Africa, but I've got students in Africa, several of them. One of them is a king over a community who calls me Papa. I got a king who calls me Papa. Okay. He shall not be put to shame when his enemies approach him in the gate. Now, we're moving toward the final. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots. Now, that's potential anointing. There's not even olives there yet, but the potential is there. And you're going to be blessed, and it ends up by saying, may you see your children's children. And I can see my children, parentheses, students. I can see my children, and I can see their children, and I can see some of my great-grandchildren in the Lord today. And the point here is fruit that remains and continues to bear fruit. Now that, it looks like I've arrived at the goal. No, I'm not there yet. I've got another thing that I have to go through. 129. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel say. Israel here is defined as those who say, from my youth they have afflicted me, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers have plowed upon my back. And you get the picture? They knock you down, take a rototiller, and run over your back. And I've been there. Yet they have not stopped me from doing what God has called me to do. And I call this the seasoned testimony. There's a first testimony, which is faith. God's going to take care of me. Second testimony, did you see that? God did that. And the third testimony is, again and again and again throughout my life, they have plowed me up, but they've never plowed me under. And they're not going to. Because I know who is with me in the battle. Okay, quickly. Where are we? 130. Out of the depths, and now this is a critical psalm. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? Now at this point, I stop focusing on what's wrong with those people who are pressing me. And I start asking the question, Lord, why have you allowed them to plow me so often? What are you after? What's in me? Believe me, this is a critical move. What is in me that needs to change so that I can be part of the redeemed community walking in the harmony and the unity of the Spirit? And each one of us as individuals need to ask our question, Lord, not why did you let that happen, but what are you after? What are you trying to get me to open up and allow you to touch that I've been protecting because it's so painful every time someone touches it? What are you after? Do you see the personal thing here that needs to happen? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. More than the watchman for the morning. And then another word. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. Now, 131. And we're almost done. My heart is no longer, I might read it that way, no longer lifted up. You know, when I was young, my heart was really, I thought I was God's hotshot. God's holy man. God's man of power for the hour. God's holy hotshot. You know, I thought I was the cat's meow or the Lord's meow, whatever. And I had visions of whatever. My heart is no longer lifted up. I no longer occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul. Now the weaned child here, we use in English, we use the word wean for whenever the child is given the final breast or the final bottle and is taken off the bottle. That's not what the word means. It would include that. But whenever, and we had six, so I understand this. Whenever mom has nursed the baby, I take the baby and I burp it. You know what all of that means. And I rock it. And when the burp is gone, what happens? The child just melts into your breast. I have finally come to that place where I'm melting into Father's heart. the mother heart of Father God. I do too. Now you think, now we have arrived. No, we're not there yet. That's a good place. And if you haven't been there, you need to get there. And face whatever affliction you have to between here and there. It's worth it. Because the Lord is with you. He will deliver you. And you'll be able to say with Israel, if it had not been the Lord, who is all of that. Now, things shift a final time in 132. Remember David. David said, verse 3, I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Israel. And then verse 8, arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place. So up to this point, I come to the place where I found my resting place in God. Now God says, now, I would really like to come to rest in you. You as an individual, yes. God wants to come to rest in you. In the we. Are there things that God is still working on? In my personal life, the picture that I like to use is Jesus came into my life. And I says, you know, have a seat here in the living room. Make yourself comfortable. Do you prefer coffee or tea? And Jesus said, I didn't come to visit. I came to take over. Said, let me see your kitchen. Wait. So I go, I clean up the kitchen, get everything nice, neat, everything sparkle. You're welcome in my kitchen. And suddenly he's no longer interested in my kitchen. He says, let me see your bedroom. Now it takes a little longer, but I put everything in the closet and close the door, you know, everything needs. You're welcome in my bedroom. I'm going to see what's in the closet. So I run in the closet, I build a false wall, put everything back there, and pastor paint it, and everything. Good. Nice closet. I want to see what's behind the wall. You know, God always knows where to point in your life. God, if you regarded iniquity, who would stand? Because we all have false walls with stuff behind it. But he does not regard iniquity the way we think he does. He's not out to slap our face. He's out to get rid of it. Because God wants to come to rest in me. And he's not going to rest in me until he's dealt with all the stuff. Now, I'm happy that I've come to rest in him. But has he come to rest in you? Or does he still have some work to do? 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his breast. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mounts of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Come bless the Lord. 134. All you who stand by night, and there are nights in our life, those who stand by night in the holy place, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. So we began with he who made heaven and earth, and we end with he who made heaven and earth. But we are at rest in him, and he is at rest in us. That's when shame is totally dealt with. as you guys know, I'm a teacher, and when I'm through teaching, I'm done. So whoever's in charge, is the Lord in charge? Ask him what to do.
It's time to receive the word. You've heard process, and there were places in the process that you saw, oh, yeah, I see that, I see that. And so I'd just like us to wait on the Lord and let him seal the word in us. We ask, Father, that you would seal the word in us. In Jesus' name. George, would you come? And Lisa, would you come? And we're going to make a huddle here and see what the coach is calling. What's the play that he's got on his mind, okay? So you just keep your heart open and let's see what the coach has to call.
I know that we have walked with the Lord and have pressed into Him and for years, and there's been pains and difficulties and promotions that are costly. But I really feel like the word that Fount brought us, the whole of the weekend, yes, but even this the capstone here at the very end of the sermon, where He has called us to rest in Him, and we did strive to enter into His rest, and we, I don't know about you, but I continue to strive to enter His rest. But there's something just beyond that, and it's the capstone of it, and it's the fullness of it, that in my heart, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to not allow all of that which has come before, all of the difficulty and all of the walking and all of the resting and all of the striving to enter the rest. I don't want that to not be fulfilled in becoming a corporate resting place for God. I want to participate, and I want the healing to be established in me, and I want all of that which He has called and spoken and done in me, I want that to be fulfilled so that I too can be a piece of that resting place. And so that's just the sense I have, and an urgency in my heart. I don't want us to drop that to any degree. Your word, I say yes to that in my heart. And I don't know if you can agree with me in that, the urgency in my heart that says, yes, yes to that, God. I want that so desperately. But that's my heart. And I'd encourage you, let's just say yes together. Could we do that? Yes. Let's say it again. Yes. And corporately, Lord, we come before You. And we're Your kids. And You've loved us. And we've received Your love. And we hear this thing that You've called us to, and we see it as beautiful, that we could be a resting place for You. Oh, oh, our hearts just reach for what You have said. Our hearts just reach there, God. We say yes. We say yes.
Father, we thank You for the awareness of Your rich presence among us today. And Father, I pray for George and Betsy and for George and for the other elders of this house. And I pray, Father, that every door would be flung open. Every hidden thing would be brought to light by You in them. Lord, that they would be able to model before this body what this word means. Lord, that You would give them the strength, that You would give them the anointing, that You would give them the humility, Father, to continue to open every door and to invite You in. And Lord, as You rest in them, that You would do something through them that would enable every person who walks in through these doors to do the same. And I pray for every member of this congregation, O God, that this would not be lost, but Father, You would etch these words on their hearts, and they too would say yes every morning to You, O God, that everything would be open, that You would be welcome in every part of our souls, O God, that we indeed would be able to rest in You. Father, we lay down every bit of striving. We lay down, O God, every bit of legalism. We forsake it, Lord. We come out of alignment with it, and we line ourselves up with the truth that's been brought to us today, O God. And I pray, Father, that there would be a shift in this body, Lord, that they would see You as their Father, that they would come and lay their heads on Your shoulder, Lord God. And, Father, that You too would come and abide in each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, O God. Let it be a work that is done this day and sealed by Your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lisa. I just want to declare to you today and just state it. God has done stuff in us. There has been a work done. You say, well, I don't know what's done. Well, that's his problem. He's big enough to do the work and then to bring it forth. And as we came into this service, a gal in the back here shared a word with George and Betsy or others. And the word was this, and I want you to hear what the word was. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What God has put into you is yours. It's there. And I would just like you to say, I've got it. The stuff is there. The light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. You don't have to be particularly prophetic or to see, my goodness, it's happening. Darkness is covering the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the call of God for you and for us is to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And the next line says this, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your shining. What God has purposed to do, he has begun. And the work is begun in you. It has begun. Would you just say, it has begun in me? The light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon me. It shall be evident. In Jesus' name. I want to just say this. Sometimes we feel like you got to do something religious. Please don't. Just go and be you. And just be you. And let the light that God has put in you leak out. Let it just leak out. And however that looks. Don't try to be George or don't be Fount Schultz. One of them is enough. If God had wanted two Fount Schultz, he would have made two. Or two Georges. Well. Well, he had a good thing going. But the truth is this. The light of the gospel, the goodness of God, has been released into you. There's a unique way in which it flows out of you. Don't try to make it like somebody else. Let the unique flow of his light and life flow out of you. That is his call and his desire. And I wanted to say one more thing, then George will talk. I need to have somebody that makes sense, but just say this. You are always a child. We don't need any adults. Be a child of God. Be a little one. Carry his light and his grace into your world like a little one. And when you get done, go back and sit in daddy's lap and let him hug you. Be a little one. And let the light of his presence show through you.
I just have a strong sense of a couple of things. First of all, for especially the CLFers here, you guys know that we put the message up online, and I just want to really strongly encourage you to actually make sure that this morning's message in particular, I mean, the weekend is good, and grab the weekend if you can do it. But I want you to like determine in your heart right now that you're going to review today's message. The audio is going to be up. The guys will get it up on the website shortly after the service. I want you to review it. I don't think that we need to quickly move away and try to quickly go beyond. Okay, we need to review and receive this again. And even I feel like there's something that can be gotten out of it by sucking on it again. It's like a lozenge. Get it. Just keep on. I feel like please review it a second time. covenantlifefellowship.org is the website, okay? Media and then the date. So the guys will put it up under Sunday sermons. So you can check it out there. And the whole conference is under conferences there. In the name of Jesus, I just release grace. 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 I release grace to rest. I release grace to be a resting place. I release grace. Grace. In the name of Jesus, I just release also for each person here, just extra angelic ministry in your life this week. Each person assigned a new, just this week for this purpose, rest and become a resting place. In the name of Jesus, I release those assignments right now. In Jesus' name. Father, we agree with you. We are yours, your children. We rest in you. And we corporately, with all of the saints, would become a resting place for you. We agree with you and we agree with your word. And we are so grateful even for the opportunity simply to agree with you. I release your blessing in Jesus' name on each person here. Your blessing in Jesus' name. An anointing, a fresh anointing of your spirit to hear and to know. In Jesus' name. Also, CLFers, I'd like to encourage you, look around, see who's missing. And your friends that are missing, tell them to listen to today's message. Would you do that? Would you, see who's missing and get it out to everyone that's missing? And if three or four people call them and tell them they need to listen to today's message, that'd be okay. All right? It's all right. So make sure you do. Don't skip out somebody. All right? Lord bless you. Love you guys. Have a wonderful week. But it's a week. You have an assignment. Get the assignment done, okay? Love you all. Oh yeah, let's all just lift our hands toward Fountain. Lord, we are just so grateful for this man who represents you, who calls forth with the voice of God, who releases the heart of our Father. That's you, Father, and we just are so grateful for him. We release into him strength. We declare into him vitality. We declare into him fresh revelation and clarity, Lord, even as he continues to press on after you to hear and know you. We bless him and we pray a release of your anointing over him in this wonderful season of his life, this ascending season, a season of ascents. In Jesus' name, we release your anointing over him and bless him. We declare the word grace over him. Say grace. Grace, grace to him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We declare also there's a new breakthrough coming. Fount, we declare over your life there is breakthrough. And it's not just breakthrough for you. Ha ha. It's breakthrough through you for a whole body. And we just declare that over you. And we bless you in that. And we bless the body in that. We declare it. In Jesus' name.
And a blessing to Linda. Linda's on her way to Mexico, and she's going to be doing a ladies' conference, a couple ladies' conferences, and we just like to put a blessing on Linda. So we'll get a gal to do it.
Lord, I do ask that you would bless her, that you would pour anointing all over her, that she would receive your love and your peace and your joy as she's out ministering, that you would cause the roads to be clear, the hearts to be ready beyond anything she's ever seen before, that there would be receptivity like only you can do, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would so place your hand upon her, so fill her with peace, that your words would just roll from her, that your actions would just radiate out of her, that she would be a perfect representation of what you are doing, so much so that even she herself would be amazed at what you're doing. And Lord, I ask that you would protect everything that she is about, around her heart, Lord, that she would just absolutely know this was like a trip to heaven. In Jesus' name.
We speak over Linda promotion. I saw her gain inches in stature, and I just declare that over her. You are promoted. Your father has found you to be a favorite of his, and his pleasure is upon you. And I just declare promotion over her in Jesus' name. Bless you all. Grace to you all.